Well, amen. Good to see everybody tonight. Good to see people show up, even when you know the pastor's not going to be preaching, and you know who is going to be preaching. Amen. I appreciate you showing up. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, let me get this knot out of this thing here. I'm liable to tear it completely up. But it is good to be here tonight. I thank the preacher for allowing me to preach every now and then. It's a great encouragement to me for that to happen. I don't take it lightly. Is this thing on, though? No, I'll turn it on. Amen. Amen. That's good. But I appreciate him allowing me to stand behind his pulpit and his pulpit. I appreciate the opportunity, preacher. If I can just get this thing. Amen. I'm buttoning my coat so you can't see it flopping around. All right. Amen. Preachers and preached all my message before we even got up here, so we can just go home. Praise the Lord. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. I'm going to read several verses in John chapter 9. And I won't be long. I never am the preacher. I always remember them saying, those who preach short get to preach again. Amen. So I appreciate that. Amen. John chapter 9, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." You know, preacher mentioned several instances when he was talking about the missionaries earlier. Sometimes there are things that happen, there are things going on in our lives that we may not understand, but it's to magnify our Lord and Savior. Amen. To glorify him. We may not like it. We may not understand it. But as long as we're magnifying our Savior, that's the main thing. Verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Y'all remember the song? "We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, and then be gathered home." Amen. You know, you wonder where some of these songs come from. I believe that's where that song came from. "The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing." You know, one day, I got washed. Amen. I got washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I was once blind, but now I see. Praise the Lord. Amen. "The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he." You know, when something good's happened to you, what happens? The gospels start. You know, what happened to you? What's this? What's going on here? What's going on? Just, if you want to know something, I said it the other night at Teen Challenge, if you want to know something, come and ask me. If you want to know what's going on in church, go ask the pastor. And if he feels like you need to know, he'll tell you. He may not think it's any of your business to know or not. And that's when you need to say, "Yes, ma'am, yes, sir." Some things we don't need to know. But that's the way we are. We want to know everything that's going on, and then we want to gossip about it. You're not going to be a blessing. I've always told, if you doesn't have anything good to say about somebody, just be quiet. Amen. Therefore, said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. You know, it'd be nice if we could just, when Jesus tells us to do something, just go ahead and obey and do it. He didn't question. He said, I went and I washed. That's what he told me to do. I went and I washed. When we obey the things that Jesus wants us to do and he commands us to do, guess what? Good things happen. Amen. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. You know, the problem is, a lot of times we don't know where Jesus is because we wasn't there when he showed up. We wasn't in our own place where we're supposed to be when he shows up. That's why it's so important that we are faithful to our church. We're faithful to be in the place that we need to be because we don't know. Hopefully he comes, Jesus shows up every time we're here. But if he shows up and we're not here, we're going to miss a blessing. There have been many times that I've wanted to go to a meeting, and I believe it was that meeting y'all had in Arkansas. Was it Arkansas? And Brother Carter's. Yeah, I wanted to go, and Brother Nick and the preacher went, and the Lord showed up, and I was thinking, boy, I wish I'd have been there. I wish I'd have been there. Isn't it the way it works? When we're not where we should be, sometimes God shows up. And he wants to do something for us, and we miss out on it. Because we're not where we're supposed to be. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received the sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. And therefore some of the Pharisees, the religious crowd, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. You know, when we preach the truth and our pastor gets up and preaches the truth and God starts moving, that's when the religious crowd, the Pharisees, you're going to say, God's not in there. God's not doing anything over there. They're going to murmur and complain. That's what religious people do. They want to talk about everything that God's doing instead of getting born again and doing it also. Amen. You know, most of the religious folks are lost. Religion will probably send more folks to hell than anything. Because religion is not going to get you to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only thing and the only way you're going to get to heaven. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. My question to you tonight is, when someone asks you about who Jesus is, what are you going to tell them? He's a man, or is he my Lord and Savior? What will your response be when someone asks you who Jesus is? But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. They feared the religious crowd. And again, that's the way we get sometimes. We know what has happened to us. We know what has happened to folks. We know what Jesus has done for us. And then somebody's going to start complaining. The religious person's going to start asking you questions and you're going to get afraid. And you're not going to tell the truth. Or you're just not going to say anything at all. What has Jesus done for you? I remember, I know y'all get tired of me, hearing me talk about when I got saved, amen, but oh well. I like telling about when I got saved, amen. I was talking to the preacher the other night on the way, I was telling him, you know, when I got saved, Jesus did something for me. I asked the preacher, I said, "Preacher, what do I need to do now?" He said, "Well, you need to get in church, and you need to walk the aisle and make a public profession, and you need to get baptized." Well, about 3 years later, the next Sunday, guess where I was? I was in church. I walked down the aisle. I said, "Hey, I want to tell folks I got saved, and I want to get baptized." Amen. You know, the day after I got saved, that Tuesday night, that Wednesday, I stopped at a gas station to get gas the next morning. You get what I did? Brother, he was pumping my gas when they pump gas. And he goes, "Brother, you know what happened to me last night? I got saved last night. Hey, something happened to me." I also called my mama. I said, "Hey, mama, guess what happened to me last night? I got saved." Amen. Something happened to me. I was excited about what happened to me. I wanted to tell somebody what happened to me. Don't let some religious nut or idiot or lost person keep the joy from you sharing the joy that is in your heart with somebody else. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get you quiet. He wants to shut you up. He don't want you to share the gospel with anybody. But I was excited, praise the Lord. Guess what? I'm still excited. Amen. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. You know, in the churches today, these liberal, backslid religious churches, you probably never hear the gospel preached. If somebody was saved, did get saved, and they came there and they showed some excitement, they'd tell them, "You need to get out of here now. I don't know what's wrong with you. We don't have no excitement like that." Well, anyway. "Therefore," said his parents, "he is of age, ask him." Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Amen. Once I was lost, but now I'm saved. Praise the Lord. Then he said to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered then, "I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear again? Will ye also be his disciples?" Tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to preach to you on how many times. This blind man, the man was blind. He now can see. He knew what Jesus did for him. And he said, "Listen, how many times are you going to ask me what happened? I've done told you over and over again. How many times do you want me to answer the same question?" So tonight, I've got just a few questions for you. Number one, how many times is a preacher going to have to preach to us men about being husband, the husband we should be? Can we get an amen, ladies? Amen. How many times is he going to have to stand behind? I can hear your thoughts. Lord, there goes Brother Bowen. Now he's going to preach on the home. I can tell you what. I've been with a preacher to several meetings. Nick's been with a preacher to several meetings. And I've heard preaching. And you know what most of it has been on? And it's not been just from our pastor. It's been on the home. That tells me that the devil is trying to destroy our homes. He don't want you coming to church. He don't want you serving God as a family. He doesn't want you doing what's right. He wants to destroy your home. the home is under attack. The devil wants to destroy the home because the home is what makes up the church. And a church that stands for the Bible and preaches the truth, the devil hates. Do you think he enjoys our pastor standing up and preaching like he does? No. He wants to do all he can, not only to destroy our pastor and his family, but to destroy your family and this church, because he hates what our pastor preaches. Matter of fact, some of you probably don't like it that much either. But one thing I know about our pastor, he loves you, number one. But he doesn't really care what you think. He's going to preach the truth. And I thank the Lord for our pastor. Anyway, back to the men. I can hear, because I've said it myself, when he's preaching, I'm fine, I'm okay. And if y'all notice, we sit at the front, y'all sit in the back. Every time the preacher's preaching, my wife goes, and I tell her, come on, dear, don't turn and look at me all the time. Come on. Sometimes it doesn't sit very well with me either. But you know what? I don't get mad. I don't get upset. I ask myself, well, what do I need to get right? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. My wife lets me know about it. Amen. Is this my over here? And ladies, I know y'all don't do that to your husband. Amen. But anyway, men, you've heard it preached over and over again, how we need to treat our wives. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. We know how we should treat our wives. But when we don't, shame on us. Because we're not ignorant of what we need to do. We've heard it enough preached. We've been to enough meetings. We've heard our pastor preach, I don't know how many times, on how we should act as husbands and fathers. We have no excuse. Ladies, how many times? You thought I was going to forget y'all, didn't you? Amen. How many times? Not me. I'm not going to do what our pastor says to do. I'm not going to call my husband Lord. Amen. No, no. See what I mean? How many times? I'm not going to submit. Go ahead, husband. If you don't love your wife, go ahead. Go ahead, big boy. Have at it. Divorce court is full. If you don't want to do it the way God has it set up, go ahead. How many times is the preacher going to teach us on how to raise our children? Why should we raise our children the way the Bible is set up? Do we want to please our God? Do we want our children to please our God? They're hopefully their God. Colossians 3:20, the Bible still says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. If you want to please the Lord, we need to do it God's way. If you want your children to be pleasing to the Lord, they need to obey their parents. Yeah, we can continue to give them everything they want. Feed the flesh. Feed the flesh. Feed the flesh. And your flesh is going to get addicted to whatever's been fed to it. You look at me and tell me, and know that I understand what feeding the flesh is all about. If you ever listen to Brother Roloff, seems like every time that Leanne and I are going home and I've got Brother Roloff on preaching, he preaches on eat, on how you should eat, what you shouldn't eat. And I'm still rebellious and I'm still eating the wrong stuff. And then, Lord help me. But if we feed the flesh the wrong things, it's going to always desire and crave the wrong things. If we realize how wicked the flesh is, we'd understand that we need to sometimes fast a little bit. Sometimes push away from the table. That's hard for me to do. Sometimes put that bag of potato chips down. I'm sorry, Brother Rollo. Anyway, how many times is the preacher going to have to warn us about sin? Romans 3:23 is still in the Bible. For the wages of sin is death. Whether it's sin in the church, the home, or wherever, sin is sin. Adultery, fornication, theft, gossip, pride is still sin. How many times do you hear all these things that's going on in the church? It should not be. It should not be that the pastor runs off with the wife every day. Or runs off with the piano player every day. Except for here. Amen. I heard a preacher say the other night at the meeting we were at that we are no longer godly, but just goodly. The church this day and time, we've lowered the standards from trying to be godly to just trying to be okay. It's okay. It's okay that people shack up. It's okay that people drink. You know, this day and time, that happens in the church.
Right.
Not much less outside of church. The nice, fine church people are doing the drinking. It should not be.
Right.
You know, Brother Roloff, he preaches mainly against two things. If you ever heard him, he preaches against television and alcohol. And now this day and time, they are both just normal. Normal. We have lowered the standards of the church. So we're just okay now. We're all right. We're doing okay. How's the church doing? We're all right. We're okay. Instead of, we're godly. Numbers 32:23. But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. I know most everybody here. I don't know what goes on in your home. Only home I know what goes on in my home is mine. My wife knows. I don't have any kids to if you ask them, they tell you the truth. Amen. You ask me, I might tell you roundabout. But the kids, they'll be honest with you. They will tell you the truth. Mommy and Daddy, well, be sure your sin will find you out. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, I can't imagine, you know, Brother Roloff, what, back in the 50s when he was preaching, you know, and he preached so hard against TV and against alcohol and against things that draw you away and sin and takes you away from the service and your mind being on Christ. I can only imagine what he would preach like today. Seems like you probably think that it's our pastor. He's the only one that preaches these things. Our pastor. If you want to know what brother, if you never heard Brother Roloff preach, listen to our pastor. Because he was preaching these things 50 years, or back in the 50s. Our pastor preaches against the same things today. Thank you, preacher. I need that kind of preaching. But he preached against alcohol and liquor and eating or not eating properly. And look at the way we are today. I could, man, if he had the phones and the, what's the word, the devices, but the, what, the social media, that's what I'm trying, you know, Facebook. I've never had Facebook, don't care to have it. But I, when I've looked at it, I've never seen anything worth looking at on it. And the preacher that we was in the meeting the other night, he was, said someone had came to him, and our pastor has mentioned it before, that they had apps on there that they could hide things. You could pull it up and it looked like a calculator, and you could use it as a calculator, but if you put a certain code in there, it'd bring up a whole different app where it'd be something we could secretly message people. And again, I'm not going to re-preach messages our pastors preach, but why would we allow our children? You know, I know 5- and 6-year-old children that have phones. What does a 5-year-old need with a phone? And I'm about to get to the point to say, what does a 50-year-old need with a phone? I can remember when I didn't have a phone. And I'm still living and I'm still operating, amen. I didn't kill over and die because I did not have a cell phone. I wish I didn't have one now sometimes, amen. That way my boss couldn't call me on it. I thank the Lord from my pastor and how he preaches against sin. You go into most churches this day and time, you don't hear preaching against sin. It's because, normally, because the person behind the pulpit is the one doing the sinning. And he's not going to preach against himself. And he would hate to hurt his parishioners' feelings because they may not come back. And tithe with the lottery money that they won. I'll move on. Sure is quiet in here, amen. How many times is God going to call you into His work? Time is short. There's work to do. The little song chorus I sang a while ago, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. You know, I always try to thank our pastor when he allows me to preach. Because I know most people wouldn't let me stand behind the pulpit. And it's a privilege when I do get to stand up. Preach God's Word. Because I can remember when He called me back in 1989 to preach. And I, for a long time, I said, no, 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 no. He could have stopped calling. He could have said, all right, I'll go find somebody else who wants to serve me. But God's still in the calling business. He still wants people to serve Him. He still wants people to surrender to the ministry. That may not be going to Papua New Guinea. But it may be, I'm going to surrender to go out with the preacher and hold up a sign. It says, Jesus saves. You want to know anything about your flesh? Go out on a street corner and take your Bible on a busy street and start preaching God's Word. Your flesh is going to say, no, no, no. Because you're going to have people come by who cuss you out. You'll have people come by and spit at you, throw things at you, time is short. But God still needs help. Now, he didn't have to have anybody. He could have done it any way he wanted to, but yet he chose us to spread the gospel to a lost and dying world. How many times is God going to prick your heart and say, I want you to do something for me? You know, we go to the down to Teen Challenge, and I told this the other night to the ladies there why I come down there. Well, you know, I go down there to be a blessing, hopefully to be a blessing to them. And Lord, praise the Lord that we every now and then we see some folks saved down there. But another reason I go to Teen Challenge is, and I'm not telling anybody any secrets, most of y'all know, we have a daughter that's on drugs. And she's trying to escape that. But she lives seven, eight hours away from here. And I can't be there. We can't be there for her. But yet, we expect someone else to go try to help her and witness to her and counsel her. And I thank the Lord for your family up there that had went to the hospital when she was there. But how can I expect and want someone else to go and minister to my family if I'm not doing it here for someone else's? Why do I go down there? Because I believe God expects me to. Is He wanting you to do something? He may stop calling. Time is short. And finally, how many times is God going to have to call you for salvation? I believe most everybody in here tonight has professed to be saved. But if you're here and you keep thinking you have plenty of time, forgive me, but you're stupid. God never promises us a tomorrow. He could come back at any time. Time is short. For the wages of sin is death. Thank goodness it didn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But if God's been knocking on your heart, and you keep telling Him no, there may come a time that He quits knocking. It may be the last time He knocks. And He says, okay, time's up. He may stop calling. He may stop wooing. The Holy Spirit may stop knocking on your heart's door. But Jesus is still in the saving business. And He still wants to save lost and dying world. Father, thank You for the few minutes we've had tonight. And I pray that You would just help me as the prayer request that I put on the page there. Help me to always be a blessing to our church. I don't ever want to be anything but. So I pray that You'd help me to be what I need to be as a husband, as a church member, as a Christian. And we just pray that the things that I've said tonight have honored You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
First Corinthians chapter 15, in light of what he's talking about tonight, is how many times does the Lord have to ask and the time's running out? Just want you to think about something real quick. First Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verse number 51. This is a passage of Scripture that deals with the rapture of the church. The word rapture is not in your Bible, but the doctrine of the rapture is in the Bible, where the Lord comes back to take His church home. And I believe that the Lord is still coming back. And I believe we're closer now than we've ever been. And I believe we're going to go out before the tribulation, before the wrath, certainly before the wrath. But we're going to go out before that happens. The tribulation is when God's going to deal with the Jews, not the church. And so we're going to get out of here. And I think that day's come is sooner than we've ever seen it. I hear these preachers talk about the return of Christ. I listen to Lester Roloff a lot also. And he talks about the return of Christ. And so he preached it back in the 50s. And there's others that preached it down through the years and ages. And the churches I grew up in, I heard it preached on. But I still believe He's coming back. And all the signs of His return are here. I mean, they're showing up. They said that He said He would come back. Paul told us when people started crying out for peace and safety. And everywhere you look around, that's what they're talking about. Peace and safety. Peace and safety. I mean, I get a safety email every day at work. Every day. When I go to McDonald's and get a coffee and it says hot in real big letters on it. You know, like, I don't want my coffee any other way but hot. Thank you for letting me know. Or you have to have a warning label on an iron to not use it while wearing. I mean, we've gone safety crazy. And everybody's asking for peace. They want world peace. Well, the only way they'll find peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. But what I'm saying is all these things the Bible told us would happen when we're near in His return. And all these things are starting. Wars and rumors of wars. I mean, a war broke out today at the White House. This stuff's happening. So this passage is dealing with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the rapture of the church. Okay? And it says there, "Behold, I show you a mystery." This mystery is the rapture of the church. "We shall not all sleep." That sleep has to do with somebody dying. We're not all going to die. When Jesus Christ comes back, those that are living are not going to face a physical death. This old body is going to die. We're going to get a brand new body. But we're not all going to go through the grave. "We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed." I'm looking forward to that brand new body. I don't know about you. The Bible says it'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, because of all these things, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for inasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So what's he saying? Because the Lord's coming back, keep working. Because the Lord's coming back, be unmovable. Be in a position where you're going to continue to abound and move forward. And don't be knocked aside with every thing that tries to blow you down. Man, stay strong. One day we're getting a new body and the Lord is coming back. And I think it's sooner than later. All right, let me show you one other thing about that verse. And I want to show you two other verses. In verse number 52, it tells us about this return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." Today might be the last day that we have a trump. I mean, the Lord might come back tonight. This might be the last trump. You say, "You made that up." No, I didn't. It says at the last trump. I mean, unless one of his sons is planning on running for president, which might be, I don't know, but this might be the last trump. So what are you saying? Are you ready for him to come back? I mean, he might come back tonight. I don't know. It might be 10 years from now. But I think we're closer. And so, are you ready for him to come back tonight? If he was to come back tonight, are you ready? Do you know that you're saved? He preached it tonight. Do you know you're saved? And not only that, are you right with him? I mean, if you knew for sure that this verse was talking about President Trump, and I'm not saying it is, but it does say it's the last Trump. If you knew for sure that's what it was talking about at midnight tonight, he was coming back. And you knew that. Are you ready? So I'm saved. Well, good. Are you right with God? Because when he comes back, I want to be right with him. And I know this is an unconventional revival that we're doing, Sundays and Wednesdays and these things, but I want it to be an opportunity for us to start this year off with just getting right with God. And I'm not telling any of the preachers what to preach. Brother Jeff's preaching next week, and then Brother Bowen's going to preach in a couple weeks, and Brother Nick's going to be preaching for us. And I'm not telling anyone what to preach, whatever God lays on their heart, but we need to get focused on him. And so if he was to come back tonight, if it was at the last trump, are you ready? And you know, some of us might say, Lord, I want to get right with you. And he goes, you'll be right with me when you get right with her. You'll be right with me when you get right with her. Or you'll be right with me when you get right with him. Amen. I wouldn't want the Lord to show back up and I'm not right with my wife because I didn't talk to her right or treat her right, or I did something maybe that I shouldn't have done that was out of line. You know what I want to do? I'm sorry, honey, because I don't want God showing up and me in the clouds and I didn't get that thing fixed. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, right? But I'm thankful for if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful for that verse. So why not just get it right? There's nothing worth hanging on to because he's coming back. And if that's not enough for you, go over to Revelation chapter 22. Last chapter in your Bible. Look at verse number 20. We have the Lord Jesus Christ is the one doing the talking here. We see that up in verse number 16. He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things. And in verse 20, he said, he which testified these things, talking about the Lord, Jesus Christ, saith, surely I come quickly. And then he amens himself. A lot of preachers have to amen themselves, and that's okay because Jesus did it. Amen. He gave himself an amen. Sometimes you just have to do that. You don't get no help. You just amen. So he does that. And then John, the revelator here, after Jesus says, surely I come quickly, his response is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That was his response. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So again, we're talking about the Lord coming. Right? And so he said, surely I come quickly. And then says, amen. And John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. And then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What's that? That God's grace would be with us because he's about to come back. Amen. This is closing the Bible here, closing these things. And if you're saved and you're in the church age, which is what we're in right now, if you're born again, if you're saved, then when Jesus comes back, that's it. There's no more time to serve him. There's no more time to see your family saved. For you two. There's no more time to get right with your family. That's it. When he comes, that's it. And so what if it was tonight? What if it was the last trump? What are the last two verse numbers put together in your Bible? 2021. Amen. So what if he came in 2021 at the last trump? That would be today. Amen. If he gets reelected, then maybe you got four more years. But it still could be the last trump in the next 4 years. Amen. He's coming back. I tell you what, it's a very petty, selfish thing and just an ignorant thing not to just get right with God if you know there's something not right. You know there's something not right with your family. You know there's something not right with your spouse. You know there's something you just need to get right. You know it. Why in the world would you wait any longer just to get it right? It's not worth it. I would love to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have a lot of regret, but I would love to stand before him saying, Lord, right now, I'm right with you. I might have made some mistakes, and I'm thankful that you've helped me with those, but right now, I'm right with you. I'm right with my family. I mean, why would you not want that to be? You say, well, if he doesn't come back tonight, we'll just stay that way. Keep a short account with God. I messed up tomorrow. I said something maybe to my wife, or I said something to my children. And right then and there, instead of being full of pride, I said, I'm sorry for doing that. I'm sorry for reacting that way. Most wives would have a heart attack if their husband did that. But say, I'm sorry. Why? Because I want to be right with God. I mean, who cares about my pride? I want to be right with Him. Amen? I don't know if that's the last Trump he's talking about or not. And when I was in Teen Challenge, most of their Bibles, most of them had NIVs, and so it says trumpets. And so, if that's the case, then it's the last Trump Pence. It still works. Amen. Let's all